Amen. Okay. Now, I want to talk about something I've never talked about before here. And we're going to break in for a title, and we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4, please. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, wherein shall the ungodly and sinner appear? And I just want to leave that question with us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? One thing I like about the Bible, not only does it answer questions, but it asks questions. And there's not a more important question for you in this little room this afternoon than this one here. For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, as the Christians, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, wherein shall the ungodly and sinner appear? What shall the end be of them? And we're going to look at the end of them. We're going to go to, first of all, to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, and we'll break in at verse 6. And this is John and his vision. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Listen to this. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Listen to this. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us priests unto our God, and we shall reign upon the earth. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20, please. Revelation chapter 20. And for the sake of context, we'll just break in at verse 10. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil was that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, for there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I heard, verse 3, a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, For these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is thirsty of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And what a terrible passage that is. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? What shall the end be? We have read this afternoon of two ends. Now, when the boys were growing up, we had a subscription to a TV channel. And in the middle of that rubbish, there was a program called Mythbusters. And that was people that in history, such and such a thing happened. And these two engineers and scientists set out to prove whether it was true or false, whether it was a myth or whether it really happened. So what I would like to do today, with the help of God and with the help of the Spirit of God, is to break it down a few myths that you might have about the end. What happens when I die? Where do I go, if anywhere, when I die? What happens? Surely I'm a good person. Surely I could go to heaven. And you know, this was stirred in my heart when a customer of mine on Facebook, her grandfather was a very ungodly man, and he went to church, and he might even been an elder in the church, and he had no time for the Lord Jesus. He had no time for the gospel. He had no time for any of this stuff. It was all rubbish as far as he was concerned. And the granddaughter put on Facebook, happy heavenly birthday, granddad. Happy heavenly birthday, granddad. For a man who didn't believe in Jesus, for a man who didn't believe the Bible, and suddenly this man apparently is in heaven. When I was growing up, there was a family, a large family, and there was a brawler who lived his own life, did his own thing, and went his own way. And he lived and he died and he was buried. And the minister of the church said, now, he was a good man. And yes, he maybe didn't go to church very often, but you know, he was a great drummer. And let nobody mock the drumming, because there's drums in heaven, and he's in heaven drumming for God. And his family that believed in Jesus were absolutely horrified that a person who purported to be a minister would dare to say such things. You're either trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you die, you're absent from the body and present with the Lord. Or else you're going to be like these people here, to fall under the judgment of a righteous, holy and just God. I only see two choices in the Bible. At the minute, it's heaven or hell. I only see the heaven for those who are redeemed. And I only see one other option in the Bible, and that's currently hell. And I'm going to clarify that. Because the psalmist David had sinned before God. The psalmist David said, whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go to the depths of hell, you are there. I cannot flee from a holy God, said the psalmist David. And what did we read, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? We read that death and hell gave up them that was in it. And death and hell was cast into this lake of fire. This lake of fire and brimstone that I don't want to talk too much about tonight, this afternoon. Whither shall I flee from God? If I could impress upon you this afternoon one simple thought, that we all will stand before God. You might not believe in God, but you will stand before him. You might not want to have anything to do with God, but in that day you will be judged. Because God is real. And God's will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not only that, people say, well, if I go to hell, it'll be full of company. And the Lord Jesus told the story in Luke chapter 16 about a rich man who died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. What did it say? Being in torments. Oh, he had five brothers, nearly like the Gillespies, one short. Five brothers. I've got five brothers. Warn them lest they come into this place of torment. He wasn't wanting company. He was wanting comfort. He wasn't wanting friendship. He was wanting a drop of water to cool his tongue. Oh, hell is a terrible place. Another myth that people say, well, you know, I'm a good person, so God will weigh up my good with my bad. And surely the good that I have done and the good works that I have done, and have even attended church, surely that will give me some merit with God. Surely God will weigh up my church attendance, my giving to charity, my being a good neighbor, by being a good relation. Surely God will let me into heaven. Well, we read in Revelation chapter 5, what did we read, ladies and gentlemen? We read about the people of every kindred and tribe and tongue and nation. Young and old, they're all there. And what are they singing? They're singing for joy. What are they singing for? For thou hast redeemed us by thy blood. So if you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never had your sins forgiven, if you've never trusted in him, you will never be there. Because there's only one way, and the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man or woman comes to God except through me. That is the gospel message. That is a myth from the pit of hell itself. Heaven is where good people go. But I go to church, my friends. Plenty of people have gone to church, and they're not in heaven. They've died and have gone to a lost eternity. They might have heard the gospel or they might not. But they've lived and died. Church attendance, church membership, all these things. And it's not going to save you. It's not going to cleanse your sin. It's not going to make you right with God. Only repentance towards God. That's what the gospel is. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And some people think that heaven is just a continuation here. Oh, well, you know, old Joe there, he just lived a quiet life, and they'll be doing the same up in heaven. That's a lie. Heaven is a holy place. Heaven is a place of joy. Heaven is a place of righteousness. Did you listen, when I was reading Revelation 5, I try to emphasize it. And did you notice in Revelation chapter 20, there's a throne. And on that throne, God sits. In the presence of a holy God, the God that the Bible says, even the thought of foolishness is sin. How many stupid thoughts go through my head? I'm not even going to tell you every day. The thought of foolishness is sin. But sin separates. Sin keeps us from God. Sin is going to take us down to a lost eternity. And that is a worry to me. Hell is not the end. Death and hell empty themselves and are cast into the lake of fire. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? What shall the end be of your friends and your family? My friends and my family, my workmates, my customers, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel? And I saw this dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those books which are written, out of the things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. You will be judged for your works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast. was cast into the lake of fire, cast away as an unwanted thing, cast away as an unclean thing, cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire that Revelation says as a lake full of fire, as a lake full of brimstone. To be there with the devil and the false prophet and the beast, to be tormented day and night. What shall the end be? Are you getting this afternoon? What shall the end be if you obey not the gospel? This is the end. This is the end. The end that goes on forever might seem a contradiction in terms, but this is where it stops. This is where it stops. Death, hell, and the grave give up before God. After you're judged and you open the book, Job logs. Not in the book. Cast into the lake of fire. What shall the end be? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? But it doesn't have to be that way. Did you listen? Did you listen to what God says? Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. I will give unto him that is thirsty of the fountain of the water of life freely. Despite all this judgment, despite all this horror of a lost soul gone into a lost eternity, God says, if you're thirsty, if you're thirsting for righteousness, if you want forgiveness, I will give unto him that is thirsty of the water of life freely. But you know, this is a gospel meeting. That's the end of them that obey not the gospel. But in Revelation 5, one of my favorite chapters, it says there are people in heaven, and they've got the 24 beasts, every one of them having harps and golden vials full of odors with the prayer of saints. And they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. Now, how did these people get to heaven? I don't want you to miss this afternoon. We're nearly done. How did these people get to heaven? These other people just did what they wanted. Went their own way, thought their own thoughts, and ended up in a lost eternity, cast into the lake of fire. Didn't need to do anything. Just drift along, bubble, 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 over that waterfall into a lost eternity. They didn't have to do a thing. But how did these people get to heaven? How did these people enter into heaven? What does it say? They sung a new song. Who did they sing it to? Well, in verse 6, it says, I looked and behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the 24 beasts stood a lamb as it had been slain. Stood a lamb as it had been slain. And they say, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to open the book and to open the seals, for thou wast slain. They're in heaven, and I'll be in heaven. I'm looking forward, because seeing that we were singing earlier, there's about four different variations of the song coming up here, and I'm tone deaf as well. That's probably five or six when we're singing. Can they sing a note to save my life? Couldn't play an instrument, except the fiddle something. Couldn't play an instrument. But you see, in that day, I'm going to sing. And I'm going to sing in tune. And I even know what I'm going to sing. Because I'm going to sing this here. And I'm going to sing this to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say, thou art worthy. For thou wast slain. For me to get to heaven, this lamb had to be taken. This lamb had to be slain. This lamb's blood had to be shed. And it's the blood of the lamb that has washed Robert Gray's sins away. It's not my church attendance. It's not who I know, or conversely who I don't know. It's the blood of the Lamb that was slain. And I'm going to sing, thou art worthy, for thou wast slain. That's why I come here on a Sunday morning. I don't come for any of the Christians. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I come to remember the Lord Jesus. I come to take that bread, and I come to take that wine, and I come to show forth his death, because he is worthy. He is worthy, for he was slain. Now that would be good, but that wouldn't have saved me. It's not enough to know that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for sin. It's not enough to know that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for sinners. You have to apply that to yourself. Listen to this. Listen to what they're singing. I don't know what tune this is going to go. It might be Round Three. It might not. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. Now that's good. But that's only part of the song. I want you to get this. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. So here we are, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. We have got no, what would you say, pull on God. God has got no obligation to do anything to help us, to bless us, to save us, or do anything. But here God in his mercy sees us lost, sees us dead in their sins, sees us without God and without hope in the world. And he sent his son. He sent his only son. And he sent Jesus Christ to the cross. And he upon the cross took my sins on his own body. And suffered and bled and died that I could be forgiven. So in this song, what shall the end be of them that have believed the gospel? They're going to sing a new song. Thou wast slain. And we're going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. You were slain for us. And that's good. But they didn't get to heaven because he was slain. They got to heaven because they were redeemed to God by his blood. Do you understand that? Are you getting what I'm saying here, folks? That this death on the cross, this blood of Jesus on the cross is not enough to save you. If you just leave it there. You've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to have this everlasting life. There's plenty of people who believe that Jesus Christ has died on the cross. There are plenty of people who believe that the blood that Jesus shed had to be shed to cleanse sin. And there's plenty of people who believe that, but they're not saved. And they're still heading to that lake of fire. They're not saved because they believe that Jesus was slain. But that doesn't take you to heaven. What takes us to heaven is, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. The blood had to be applied. In the night of the Passover in Egypt, when the children of Israel were going to be delivered from slavery, from tyranny, from oppression, and going to be brought out into a land of promise, they were told to take a lamb. They were told to examine the lamb. They were told to kill the lamb, to eat the lamb, roast with fire, and to take the blood of the lamb and apply it to the doorpost and the lintel. Now they might have had the lamb. They might have killed the lamb. They might have been in there with their feet shod, ready to go. And there might not have had any blood on the door. They would have died under the judgment of God. They would have died in the land of Egypt that night. But they believed what God had said. They believed what Moses told them. That this lamb had to be taken. This lamb had to be shed. This lamb's blood had to be applied to the door. And they applied that blood. And they were saved. And they were brought out of oppression. They were brought out of slavery into liberty. Through the blood of the Lamb. Are you getting this? Are you really getting? I want you to get this. They sung a new song. Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain, and has redeemed us. Redeemed us what? To God. Redeemed us to God by thy blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. We can never put a value on that. It is a blood that cleanses from sin. It is the blood that cleanses from every sin. It is the blood of Jesus that removes every stain of sin and makes us a brand new person before God, as if we were in heaven itself. What shall the end be? What shall your end be? What shall your end be? What shall the, if judgment must begin at the house of God, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? My end is going to be different, because I have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And one day I'll sing that new song with people out of every kindred. We're not able to fly, not able to go on holidays. It doesn't matter. We'll see if people from all around the world in that day. Every continent of God's earth will be there. Out of every kindred and tribe and nation. How did they get to heaven, ladies and gentlemen? They were redeemed to God by his blood. And that's how you will get to heaven. By simply acknowledging that you are a sinner. Simply acknowledging that there's nothing you can do to save yourself. But simply coming and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and be cleansed and be made right and holy before God through the blood of him that was slain on the cross. Our lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close our eyes. Our God and our Father. We know that eternity is a long time. It is without end. Just as thou art without end. But we bless thee, Father. We've learned this afternoon that there's two places. There's heaven, where those will be there that have been redeemed to God by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is that awful place where people will go that have not believed. They've gone their own way and done their own thing, and they ended up before a holy God, name not written in the book of life, cast into the lake of fire and brimstone that burns forever. Father, help us to be awake and help us to be concerned and help us to pray for our friends and their neighbors and their relations not ready on the way to this horrible place. But Father, we just pray to bless all who have listened. We just pray for that they will understand there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is a door that is opened where all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where we